Blog Talk Radio.
Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you, 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 night and day. You are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun, whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you night and day.
Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you.
A hungry yearning burning inside of me.
And if torment won't be through, till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night.
Night and day.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Come hang with Al at Wild Dove Louie and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us early on Wednesday for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that night as we turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft of Song and Art with Richard and Laurent, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dan. Friday, Come Fool My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturdays are split with Gray Eyes and Dan howling at the moon from the wilds of the north, and exploring a crazier with Captain B2. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. through Sunday evening. Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Sit in with Asiana and Babra on Thursday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Join Dex and Pam on Saturday as they bring you Once Upon a Time and delve into the darkness with Arcana every other Sunday. Check out the contest on Prompts for All of Our Shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And yes, we are celebrating Randy Meisner tonight, but we do have leftover from 2 weeks ago. Since last week we got rolled off the air. Blog Talk had its problems, so we apologize for that. So we have a few pieces up front that we need to deal with, and then we rolled into Randy Meisner and the Eagles. Hello, Pam. What you doing?
Oh, not much. Had a nice lazy day today, good and relaxing. Now I get to look forward to hanging out with you and other, you know, and just get into this awesome poetry inspired by some great music and wonderful choice of an intro song for the Tony Bennett portion. I really like the combination of him and Lady Gaga. Very cool. I like
it. Just seems we're doing a memorials and testimonials lately. Tony Bennett, Randy Meisner. Next week we've got Robbie Robertson. We've done Taylor Hawkins, Charlie Ward. We've got, I think, half of what the shows this year have been on the deaths that we've experienced and lost.
Sad but true. And you know it's a sad fact of life that eventually everybody has to die. But man, when greats like this start going, it just somehow hits really hard, you know, and I guess, you know, we can all take comfort in the fact of knowing that they've left some just amazing music behind for not only for us to enjoy, but hopefully future generations will realize the brilliance of these music and lyrics left behind. So.
Yeah, because what came all those years before, God, it's miles above what crap is being tossed out on the airwaves today.
Yep, absolutely. Sad but true.
I do have something special coming up in 2 weeks. There's something as hit and as stirred the stirred and girded the loins of millions of people across the world. So I'm going to get into that one 2 weeks from now.
All right. Well, wow. I have to say that's a big promotion there, Rex. I'm going to be hugely disappointed. I am going to be hugely disappointed if my loins aren't stirred when
girded.
You come up with that contest.
Oh no! This one stirs a lot of emotional value. I've been sifting through the reactions on it, and it's ain't nobody offering up anything except praise. And holy shit, he went there. So, yes.
Well, awesome! I am really looking forward to that. I like that. Very cool. Looking forward
Jeremy,
to that surprise.
Get on the phone and get your ass in here.
Hey, Jeremy. Jeremy, good to see you. Hello, kind poet. Good to see you, too.
We ain't heard your voice,
so
dial that bloody phone and crawl on in.
Knowing Jeremy, he's too busy running naked across a football field to call in. But, you know, maybe he could take some time from his stripping or whatever it is he does. So.
Okay.
But yeah, anybody who'd like to call in and join us are more than welcome.
The California weenie romp must be really good.
Right? Exactly. Oh, too funny. But, yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea as far as that surprise goes. But before the surprise, you have next week's show, which unfortunately is another, you know,
yes,
person who passed that away. But
Robin
a great
Robinson from the band.
Yep.
Up on Crystal Creek, he sent me. If I spring a leak, she mend me. Yes. Good music from the band.
Yeah, love their music. Good stuff. Whenever you're ready, Rex, I am ready to get started on.
We got those first three right off the song we just let in with, so let's do it.
All right, sounds good to me. All right. So. First up, we have Every Day is a Song for Tony by Guilty. Every day is a song, a brand new melody, with sing angels in rhapsody, bluebirds chirp on a summer's day, mild wind breezes your troubles away. Can't be too blue with a clear sky, watch as the time flies by. The dawn of the sun will turn to dusk, cool of the evening sings to us. Let's hold hands in the heavens. Love has found us among the denizens. On the spinning globe, round and round, baby, truer love ain't been found. Every day is a song unto its own, with a beat the borrowed on loan. Groundhogs burrow the ground, heavy rain make a sound. Can't be too blue with stormy weather. Catch a chill bundle up in a sweater. We watch the downpour with a cozy fire and a more. Let's kiss and make it better, toast our good fortune in pain. Life plays the notes in the refrain, and our love makes us want to sing again. Every day is a song and poem.
Mm-hmm. Great poem. Thank you very much. And thank you, Guilty. I like this for the tribute for the thought of Tony Bennett all those years. I mean, he did start out in the early 50s, and he had a great run through the 60s and 70s, and then kind of petered out a bit. But he found a second wind with Wings doing duets, which I featured for him. I did nothing but the duets because it hit such a second turn of phrase with Tony Bennett, rolling him forward an extra 20 years, whereas he might have just ended up as a another footnote in history to the lone singers like Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and company. He got to extend his career. The likes of Lady Gaga, Sheryl Crow, Amy Winehouse, and a host of others, which allowed the younger generation to not only see the newer talent, but matched up with an older talent that even the newer talent appreciated for what he brought to the table himself. So nicely done, Guilty. Thank you. All right.
Absolutely.
What about you?
Oh, I like this. It has wonderful rhyme and flow. You know, it's just a beautiful, heartfelt message. A great tribute to Tony Bennett and his songwriting, and how oftentimes his songs make you think about the good things in life, like, you know, appreciating the simple gifts of life, having love. And, you know, I like how this just has the whole, like, the comfort of a Tony Bennett song within Guilty's right. I like that it's about embracing the gift within each day, and especially, you know, sharing that love together. I really like this all the way through, but especially, you know, can't be too blue with stormy weather, catch a chill, bundle up in a sweater, we watch the downpour with a cozy fire and a more. You know, just wonderful lines and very well done.
Where are we going next?
All right, well, before I put up the next poem, my question to you is, would you sing a parody of Night and Day, or would you read it?
Oh, God, no. I'll read it.
Okay. Okay, well, in that case, then I will take that if you are going to read it anyways, and I will give you the one with the more difficult words to pronounce. So. All right. We have Mystic Blood, a song by Jim Bellamy. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read, please.
Mystic Blood, a song by Jim Bellamy. Sought the summer in the sun, not any place for golden ones. Sought the summer in the sun, bought it all, turned it over, suffered under, suffered older. Sought the summer in the sun, sought the summer in the sun, give me light. Give me light, lend me more, give me night. Rent some more, give me none, lend me more, open up that silver door. Sought the summer in the sun, nor any place for golden ones. Sought the summer in the rain, nor any place for the dearest brain. See the wasteland in the moon, chant the worlds and deus boom. Sought the summer in the sun, sought the summer in the sun. Give me light, lend me none, give me night, rend me some. Give me none, lend me none, open up that silver door. Is this the world that I once held, or is it more the summer's meld, or is it more the Christ of dreams, the place for summer screams, or counting down? Is it less a place for love, and that deuce quest, deuce quest, deuce quest? Give me nights, lend me none, give me nights, lend me some. Give me none, lend me more. Open up that silver door and poem. All right, try that one off the side.
All right, I don't know if that hat fits me, but I'll try it on. Great read there, Rex. What an interesting take on the prompt. Just like the original song, it uses repetition quite well. I feel like Sought the Summer Sun, nor any place for golden ones, Sought the Summer in the Sun, really had that whole idea of California dreaming, of, you know, going out to Hollywood to seek fame and fortune, you know, and rend me some, give me none, lend me more, open up that silver door, you know, wanting to find that silver lining in the cloud. Interesting phrases. Summer in the rain, nor any place for deuce brain. See the wasteland in the moon chant. The words of deuce doom sought the summer in the sun. You know, just like no room for or time for people with shit for brains who aren't going to think, you know, and just walk around like a bunch of zombies. It definitely has a bite to it and a bit of humor. And as I said, great use of repetition. And, rend me some, give me none, lend me more, open over door. I feel like those end lines, and I could be wrong, but what I feel like those end lines talk about and what there is maybe in part of this is kind of trying to get what you want through getting the right credit card. I know that sounds weird, but I feel like it's like people basically putting themselves in a bad position because they want to try to live above their means. But it's definitely an intriguing write, a great lyrical quality, and very well done.
Nice. All right. I'm going to hit on that note of like carpe diem, seizing the moment, bleeding out the note of each minute of daylight, as well as bleeding out each note within the night. What was it? Bored it all, turned it over, suffered under, suffered older, sought the summer in the sun, sought the summer in the sun, give me light, lend me more, give me night. Rend some more, give me none, lend me more, open up that silver door. That silver door kind of hits on that notion of the moment that is quintessential, right then, right there, right now. That silver door could be referenced to just the fun and the illumination of the difference between night and day. It could be the the door opening up to brighter things, or it could be the door that even walks into the darkness that still holds itself a note to that which you find behind it. The summer in the sun, nor any place for Deuce Brain, see the wasteland in the moon, chant the words of Deuce Doom, soft of summer in the sun, soft of summer in the sun, give me tight, give me like, lend me none, give me night. The doors, the Deuce hits me up with a sort of a Deuce ex machina, I can't think of, god of machines, but the Deuce here, and it's the god of the night, or the god of all, Deus Doom, god of doom, so to speak, but maybe it's the idea of where we place our dreams. We can doom ourselves, or we can light the way to that which we wish. Maybe that's what the silver gold means.
I like that. I like that. Very cool. Great observation there. All right. And up next, we have Benighted Day by Keith Palethorpe. And people will have to listen to me read this. And sorry, ladies, you'll just have to imagine that Rex had sung it. So there you go. All right. Like the beat, beat, beat of a dead beat when the landlord comes to call, like the tick, tick, tock as you swiftly walk where fairness cannot fall, like the beat, beat, beat as you beat it where the skulking shadows hang, like the tick, tick, tock of the justice clock showing you don't give a dang. You're a drip, drip, drip of a person and you need a shower too. So a voice within me keeps repelling you, you, you. Night and day, you are the one, only you so out of tune and under the gun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, mister, where you are. I think of you night and day, day and night. Why is it so that this aura from you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, under the hide of me, there's an such a hungry retching, kvetching inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making light of you. Day and night, night and day, this torment would never be through till you let me spend my life making light of you. Day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. Day and night, day and night, day and night, night and day. End poem. Did you see what he did there, Rex? Did you see what he did there, the second to last line? He switched things around and messed me up.
that's why you got to pay attention while you're reading. But I'll tell you what, I like the humor in it. But there was a nice touch near the end. There's an, such a hungry, retching, kvetching side of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making light of you. It hits on a couple of things. You can walk as that note to somebody you're around that emanates such an olfactory tang to one's senses, or to the fact that tang is oneself. And boy, do you stink in the stench of that which is you, because, hey, you are nose blind to that which is you, which kind of plays off in the angle here. It hits on that, on somebody who does not and has not or commits to taking a shower, a bath, or whatever. So the stench is always there. It's like that, like you see on Peanuts, and you've got that little kid, the dirty one. He's always got a cloud of dirt, which is pretty much a stench, so to speak, around him. So that's the angle. mold and with it. And the idea of so a voice within me keeps repealing you, 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 night and day, you're the one, only you. So I have tuned another gun, whether near to me or so or far, it's no matter missed of where you are, I think of you night and day. So there's a little comedy motif rolling around the fact that, yeah, I can't stand my own self for that which I put off, yet I don't have but much of a choice to live with that which I am in.
I like it. I like it. Very cool. Great comment. Oh, by the way, guess who took time off from his job at pole dancing to join us on the show tonight?
Well, I didn't even know him to get off his ass and join us.
Welcome to the show, Jeremy. Glad you could join us.
Oh, my thighs are so sore. I got to take a night off from all the pole dancing.
Hey.
We kind of figured.
The other dancing's a grip, don't you? That means you got to express your thigh muscles that much more just to keep a grip.
Exactly. Hey, guys. Good to hear you both.
Oh, hey. I haven't heard you in so long. This is like strangest meeting on a train.
I know, buddy. The summer's been pretty darn thick with everything. So I've been away from the shows, but no, I was able to sneak away tonight, so I'm glad to join you guys.
Cool. Glad to have you.
Very cool.
Speaking of which, did you get to hear that last week?
I got part of it. I was on the boards teasing Stell and got in the green room with Pam, so I missed a lot of the conversation. I did enjoy this. I do love Keith's stuff. I love the word kvetching. I really like when specific words stick out in poetry for us. That was a cool touch. And then I like when Pam was reading it because I'm going to give Keith the benefit of the doubt. And that second-to-last line was intentional, the way he switched it up. It's almost like taking a breath, taking a pause. I think when you do a whole bunch of repetition like that, it becomes extremely impactful. And I love hearing it read on shows because you can always interpret – I think we've talked about this before – because you can always interpret it differently when there's so much repetition. But the fact that he took that little stutter step was almost like – it was almost kind of like a rope-a-dope. He was swinging up a little bit with that haymaker at the very end and then gave it. So I thought that was a cool touch to close the poem.
Absolutely, because when you do repetition like that, it kind of drones, but when you change that last note, it gives more impact to that little bit of drone that you might have, the Verita might have gotten into. All of a sudden, there's a little bit more meaning behind it.
Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you, Jeremy. All right, Pam, what you want to do
next? You didn't want me to comment on this one?
I thought you did.
I'm
not used to that.
I did like this. It was a great parody, spot on as far as that goes. I love the humor in it. I like that he used humor, speak on the idea of loneliness and, being able to get rid of the thoughts of somebody. I really enjoyed the use of the word kvetching. There is just not enough poems in this world that have the word kvetching in them. So just
we could use a few more words like momzilla too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I do really like where he says, like the beep, beep, beat as you beat it, where the skulking shadows hang, like the tick, tick, tock of the justice clock showing you don't give a dang. Great lines and very well done. All right.
Nice.
So
now where shall we go?
Question. These next two rites do not have songs
They don't have any assigned music, so they're rollers from the week before. We were supposed to do these last week, but kvetched by Blog Talk Show. Okay. Uh-huh.
Great use of the word kvetch there. Right.
Yes, we were just momzillas in the rain.
Oh, man. All right. Well, up
yes,
next.
I worked at a douche place for 5 years. I did pick up a few things.
Oh, my gosh. You are too funny, Rex. Too funny. All right. Up next, we have Lethargy by Dabatish Verma, India. And Jeremy, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
You got it. Lethargy by Dabashish. I folded my dreams and kept aside temporarily, tucked my pain between the lines of a sad story before it spoils my day completely. I couldn't proceed ignoring the host of flowers nicely curated within the limited space of the high-rise society. I couldn't pierce through the veil of tranquility and go ahead casually. I stopped for a while to enjoy closely the rows of beautiful lilies standing quietly to greet me on the walkway. I couldn't stop myself enjoying a brief moment of lethargy. I slowed down my pace a bit to feel the air full of purity. I forgot to count my steps, couldn't keep a watch on my fitness strap. What to do, my friend? Things happen like that. I missed my loco and reached office late too, end poem.
Great read, Jeremy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you got first dibs.
All right. Great read there, Jeremy. I like this one. I think it's a very thoughtful write. The one-word title really says a lot. You know, I feel like it's the idea of somebody who's become complacent. You know, I folded my dreams and kept inside temporarily, tucked my pain between the lines of a sad story before it spoiled my day completely. I couldn't proceed ignoring the host of flowers nicely curated within limited space of a high-rise society. You know, I feel like I said, it's somebody, their dreams on hold, who's become complacent with life, who doesn't really see themselves moving forward anymore. And then there's this kind of moment of awakening. The rows of beautiful lilies standing quietly. It actually, with the mention of flowers, it makes me think of funerals, but the mention of the rows of lilies make me think of how it oftentimes, like, churches are decorated with lilies during the Easter season. So I can't help but wonder if maybe that part there kind of is a representation of somebody's personal resurrection in life and moving forward. And I do love that end line. I missed my loco and reached office late, too, you know, because that part there just wants you to start singing Living La Vida Loco. It really, well, I should say it makes me want to hear Rex singing Living La Vida Loco. By Ricky Martin. But a great write on feeling trapped within life and too complacent. So very well done.
All right. You mentioned a song right there by Ricky Martin. How does it go? I'm not familiar with that song. What is it?
Let's go sing it for you.
I don't know it.
Come on, Pam. Come on, Pam.
Nice try, Jeremy.
All right. Well, you got shot out of the air for that one, Jeremy, but we will take a comment.
Yeah, interesting. Because it's titled Lethargy, and you expect this to be kind of a downtrodden, lazy beat down poem, and I, for some reason, it doesn't come across to me that way. And maybe in a lot of things, what Pam mentioned, the notice of flowers, the pausing that you take to walk slowly and actually realize the beauty of what surrounds. I mean, it kind of feels like I understand the fact that there could be sloth, there could be a lack of happiness of what's going on with the world, or you're feeling lazy, or whatever you want to associate with the term lethargy, but it seems like it's on the come up to me for some reason. It's like he's taken the time to actually stop and smell the roses, and it's almost like it's an awakening. It's coming out of those doldrums. It's kind of realizing that you might not be getting all of your steps in. You might not be attaining all of those goals you're looking for, but this has more of a positive spin on it for me for some reason. I don't know. And even the fact that you missed your train, you're late to the office. You know what? Sometimes you need to be late to the office because you're appreciating the world that surrounds. So even though it kind of comes across or starts off or presented or at least had my expectations of thinking this was going to have a negative tone to it, I think it's kind of, like I said, it's on the come up. So I like that.
Excellent. And I think you're spot on, Jeremy, because I took the flowers, not literally, nicely curated within a limited space of the high-rise society. I couldn't pierce through the veil of tranquility and go ahead casually. I stopped for a while to enjoy closely the rows of beautiful lilies standing quietly to greet me on the walkway. Women. He's feeling lazy in the moment and enjoying the literality of the thought with you got to stop and smell the roses, but it comes in the beauty of women. And he couples that on the back end with, couldn't keep watch on my fitness strap. What to do, my friend? Things happen like that. I missed my loco and reached the office late too. There is such a nice, easy note of not caring in that moment because he actually got to take a moment and breathe freely and see that which he is missing because his life is too busy. The idea of lethargy is if you don't take that lazy moment, you miss too much in those moments. So nicely done, Devasish. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. All right, Pam. Where if I go?
All right. Well, I will grab the next one. Just give me a moment to add a different link, and then there we go. All right, and then I will grab the next poem. Do-do-do-do-do. All right.
Inside, upside down, living la vida loca.
Oh my gosh, that moment of Jeremy singing has been recorded for all posterity. I am going to have Gene make a one of those videos of like or the greatest moments in LNP history, and that is going to be on there.
Oh, Jeremy, you're in deep doo-doo, man.
Down. It is not recording. I'm sorry, that moment is lost forever.
Yeah, right. Oh, too funny. Too funny. All right. Up next, we have Cutouts of Your Paper Person by Maria XS. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
All right. Cutouts of Your Paper Person by Maria XS. You want me to bend and fold, shape me the way you wish to unfold. I become an object of flight. I can be whatever I want for you tonight. The real power begins with you. I know what I can't do. Shape me into a love letter. Shape me into a blank canvas. Whatever feels better. Bend me with creased folds. Treat me like paper in holes. The least I can do is give you a paper cut. When that finger bleeds, that's my heart begging for needs. If you can't do a simple fold, how can I be with you when I'm old? If you can't pull me back together, how can I expect us to last forever? You can undo the folds you made, the scars it will show on the paper blade. So if you wish to make me burn, tear me into pieces when there's a reason to learn. Hold me closer to a warm candle fire. Watch me burn with your words, a liar. If you can't accept me for all my folds, that's because you were never told. I've been through more than enough control. They got bored of me as I got old. They blame me for my sharp edges. You hold me like paperweight and wedges. Now I know who will hold my door open. You're a gentleman that is well spoken. Thank you for accepting me as your paper person. Thank you for not cutting me up into many pieces. You're all I need on the film the paper has needs. You all I need on film the paper, leads, and boom. All right, Jeremy, this ain't going to be an easy one, but what do you think?
No, it's not an easy one. I love the extended metaphor. And what I'm doing is I'm reading the author note. It's not over till it's over is what I tell myself. If you're a paper person, they already been folded, then I had myself covered in dried blood. That's because they handed me poorly. It's not because I don't know how to love. Fold me how you wish to. Yeah, I like that thought. I mean, wow. It's a deep poem. And the first thing that catches me obviously is the format, the bulleted format of the X's in each line, how they punch. It's almost like separate points at times. Even though she carries the metaphor beautifully throughout, it's almost like it's checking boxes, but because it's an X, it has a negative connotation to all of it. You know, it's marking things off of, even though the poem is begging to be controlled, it's begging to get that guidance, it's begging to let someone else take control, the fact that she took the care of putting X's on everything, it's giving that subtext of, no, I don't want it to be like this. And then the whole metaphor, the whole carried theme of the biting back, the fact that there's a paper cut, the fact that there is a slight pushback that comes unexpected. It's not fully submitting to someone else's whim. There is going to be some backlash over the fact that this situation has created itself. Wow, it's very complicated poem, and I want to commend Marie on making me think this much about her words, because I think that there's a lot going on in this, and I think it's very introspective because it feels very personal in how she expresses how she's approached, or how at least the narrative voice approaches relationships. So, yeah, I'm impressed with this writer on a lot of levels.
Oh, I agree with you. That's an impressive thought there, Jeremy. Thanks very much. And Pam, you're on.
All right. Well, what I was told is that she puts the X's in all of her poems because it's supposed to symbolize her stitching herself into her individual poems. But I do like Jeremy. Yeah, yeah. I'm just telling you what that's what she had told Aphasiana, and Aphasiana told me, but I thought that Jeremy had really cool observations on the poem. You know, there's so many different things you think of when you think of folding paper, like, you know, origami, making snowflakes, paper swans, you know, the paper airplanes, like especially where it says, I can become an object of flight. The idea of making the right folds and creases in order to create a more aerodynamic paper airplane. And I like how she takes a look, as Jeremy was saying, at an extended metaphor of, you know, how the right folds, the right creases can make something better. It can make someone better. It can make them more beautiful. But then there's also those folds and creases that just basically tear you apart. I really like the part where it says, the scars will still show on the paper plate, so if you wish to make me burn, tear me into pieces with no lesson to learn. Hold me closer to a warm candle fire, watch me burn with your words, the lyre. Speaking on the idea of how much words truly can hurt. And then it seems as if it comes to either there's been a change in the same person or it comes to a different person. You're a gentleman that is well spoken. Thank you for accepting me as your paper person. Thank you for not cutting me up into many pieces. You're all I need until the paper has need. You're all I need until the paper bleeds. And I like those last two lines, those last lines, because it seems as if she's found somebody who knows how to handle her as a paper doll should be handled, as something that needs careful consideration with each move, and someone who understands that they will always come first to her, except for when it comes to having to express herself through her poetry, through her writing, because I really felt that until the paper has needs, until the paper bleeds, was all about the fact that, you know what, I will be here with you, but sometimes I'm going to need to take time for myself, and specifically I'm going to need to take time for my writing. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. Okay. There's a note to familiarity, the ease in which one can open up and then unfold into a situation that makes life, the world in the moment, an easy thing to walk into. That sort of I can become an object of flight. I can be whatever I want for you tonight. So there's that ease of change, that ease of mirroring the moment rather than buffing against it. Shape me into a love letter, shape me into a blank canvas, whatever feels better. Bend me to crease folds, treat me like paper holes. The least I can do is give you a paper cut. That hits on the idea of, as Jeremy said, the pushback. When the finger bleeds, that's my heart begging for needs. The idea. I'm giving you all I've got within the ease of fold, unfold. No, do not. It used to be, the thing back in the day? It used to be for the credit card. Do not bend, fold, or mutilate. That was in regards to the graph cards. So the idea is you take care of this because it has full meaning in value in what it represents. That means if you get a call up, your ass is gone. You have to bend into the moment to what it is because that card tells you you have to go. It kind of hits on the same note here with the idea of that note to that's my heart begging for me. If you can't do a simple fold, how can I be with you when I'm old? Again, that note, if you can't offer up yourself as a bendable note in the moment, then why should I do all the bending and you do all the straightening, so to speak?
Oh, great observation, Derek.
I like that you said there's a whole lot to dig out of this.
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely. All right. Well, up next, we are going to listen to the song Hotel California by the Eagles. So here we go.
Thank you. feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman, we are programmed to leave. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Great song there. So, Rex, before we go into the Eagles-inspired poems, did you want to tell us some stuff about Randy Meisner and his musical career?
All right. His name is Randall Herman Meisner. He was born in Scotch Bluff, Nebraska, in March of 1946. His parents had a farm. They grew corn, beans, alfalfa, and sugar beet. And Randy got a hankering for music when he saw Elvis Presley on the Ed Sullivan Show. That would be about 1956. So he took up guitar and he took lessons. In the meantime, one of his teachers at Scotts Bluff High School suggested that he might take up bass. And since he loved R&B, it was kind of a natural move, kind of a lateral move that fit him well. He couldn't read music and so what he learned and memorized, and it fit the way he played. It came as almost a natural note. He started playing music in band when he was 15. That'd be 1961. Different times. He was with the with a local band named the Dynamics. They ended up calling themselves the Drive-In Dynamics later on. It was about 4 years there. Their first paying job was a dance hall in Little Moon Lake in Torrington, Wyoming. They played there through 1962. And they did they recorded a four-song EP with Meisner singing lead vocals on Sam Cooke's You Send Me. It was pressed locally, about 500 copies, released in August of 65. Then they signed a record deal with Sony Records out of Amarillo, Texas, and did a couple more songs there with Randy singing two of the three pieces they offered up. Then in 66, he moved out to California, so he's just 20 years old, moved out to California, and he joined a band called the Soul Survivors, later to be named the Poor. There's a funny note to that, because that is what they became. It was a hard scrabble existence. Mike recalled, I never had a car, and I had to walk. I sold the Los Angeles Free Press on Sunset and Highland. I made about $5 a day in 1956. I guess, Mike, that'd be just enough for a bit of food. Only, well, maybe a bit more. $66, $5 went a long way. But still, that's hard pressed. The Poor was managed by Charlie Green and Brian Stone, who also managed Buffalo Springfield and Sonny and Cher. 67, they had some limited success with Decca Records, but they kind of broke up. The Poor recorded She's Got the Time, She's Got the Changes, a song written by Tom Shipley, later to become Brewer and Shipley, and did it with A&M Records. In 67, they did, the band performed A Study in Motion number one, which was featured in the 67 Jack Nicholson field, film, The Hell's Angels on Wheels. And in 67, they found themselves booked for about 2 weeks in New York City as opening act for the Jimi Hendrix Experience. They did a couple of shows, but it wasn't quite their cup of tea. And after threatening the producers, they finally got their money, and they flew back to California, which was kind of their more their slower pace than the New York was back then, a big rush. Anyway, he had moved out back to Wyoming for a while and worked at a John Deere place, and then he was convinced by Ricky Nelson and the Anyway, he was on the first album with Poco, which featured Richie Fury and Jim Messina from Buffalo Springfield. Yes, he was a little miffed the fact that he wasn't allowed to help curate the album, produce it. So they did the next best thing. They took his picture off the album cover, left it blank with a dog sitting there, and then they took his vocals out of all the songs, but they left his bass on track because they couldn't replace that. And he was replaced by He was replaced by a musician who later would replace him in the Eagles when he split with the Eagles back in 78, I think it was. Also, he was doing a lot of studio work. That's where he met the brethren of the Eagles, Glenn Frey and company, because they were already doing studio work with him as they worked on an album, a debut album for, oh my God, now I can't remember. God, I'm going brain fart.
Well, there's a lot there to remember. There is. I mean, the guy had quite a life and quite a musical career.
Well, anyway, during the 70s, they were on a large tour of Hotel California and everything else. And at the end of one big tour, he got in a big fight with Glenn Frey, and he decked Glenn Frey because he was sick, and he didn't have the voice to do their encore song, which premiered in every show. And he refused to go out on stage and do it because he didn't have the voice for it. And Glenn Frey got up in his face, was really pissed at him, so he decked him. And then they threw him out of the band, literally. And they didn't even invite him back for that 20-year reunion big tour that the Eagles had. He was a little miffed at that. But he said, that's water under the bridge. It didn't matter to him, but I think it did, because he was a founding member. He was part of this group that put all this great music together right through Hotel California. So, you know what? You get shut out like that, it sucks, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He certainly was talented, that's for sure.
Great.
Great info there.
1971, Linda Ronstadt's debut album. That's where you'll find Randy Meisner, Glenn Frey, and company who formed the Eagles later that year.
Cool. I did read about that part where his face replaced on the album with a picture of a dog, and I thought, well, I guess there could have been worse things for them to replace his face with, but man, I tell you, interesting stuff.
The guy who replaced him in Poco was also the guy, the bassist, who replaced him in the Eagles, but he was also the guy when they got rolled into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who stood Randy Meisner up and said, if it wasn't for Randy, I wouldn't be here being honored with this group right now.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, kudos for him. That's good. Yep. All right, Rex. Well, whenever you're ready. All right. Well, I did decide that since you happen to have the song Hotel California, that I was going to put up a poem that I had actually written inspired by that song. So I have my poem, The Roar of the Engine in a Fluorescent Sky. And it goes like this. There's a man who walks a road of kicked up dust and the desert dragons all scatter to get out of his way. He's the preacher and the pauper, knows sin like the map on his hand. Every vein is a path to a new experience of downtrodden redemption on a stone's throw. He's murmured his way through a lounge of broken shackles and dilated dreams. Caressing fangs is the game played on the rising of the sun's loins. In every step taken, there's always a need to burn. A stigmata sits on his lips where the moths bit the cloth that fed them. Succulents bloom in spring storms, roaring waters taking prisoner a scar in the fluorescent sky. He hums a tune. Big city music weaves itself into a corner store motif. Gin of the wailing wall, the prophet's long exhale, a flight of torches into the roar of the engine. End poem.
Great, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Jeremy, you still here with us? You've gotten awful quiet.
I am, and I hadn't heard this poem from you yet, Pam. I'm giggling at the end of it. I love this. This is Clint Eastwood strutting down the street in some dusty town. I particularly love Every Vein is a Path to a New Experience. I love the fact that I could just see this sun-beaten hand, this weathered body down the street and kicks ass. There was also, in every step taken, there's always a need to burn. I mean, there's so many little couplets or even little stanzas that you put in this that almost stand by themselves. But it's definitely a kick-ass poem. In terms of its relationship to Hotel California, which can be interpreted in a lot of ways, the song being, in my view, in my recollection, how I look at it, it's definitely a party place, but it's also a den of inequity, whatever I'm trying to say. But I like the fact that a character like this would definitely be strutting into it, almost like a dusk till dawn, just a place where road-weary warriors would tend to stop by and enjoy a party. But, yeah, there's a lot of character in this poem, Pam, and I liked what the scene you curated and the feel that you carried throughout. Wonderful, right?
Thank you.
It's kind of funny. I was walking along that same thing, but I had to go look up what I was thinking. Nobody going to take my car. I'm going to race it to the ground. Nobody going to beat my car. It's going to break the speed of sound. Ooh, it's a killing machine. It's got everything, like a driving power, big fat tires and everything. A little bit of Highway Star from Deep Purple. And I walked that
note
of
I like that.
Big fat tire screaming across the desert landscape and saying, "The hell with y'all, I'm on the road to everywhere."
Very cool. I like that. Well, thank you, Rex. And thank you, Jeremy. And now I'll go ahead and move us on to the next song.
Before we move on, Pam, can you give us, where did you come up with this? And how did that song inspire this poem for you?
Well, how did that song, you expect me to remember a year? I mean, this was written a year ago.
Make some shit up.
A year ago.
Well, if I remember correctly, Hotel California is about getting into that lifestyle and not getting out because it sucks you in to the point that it eats you alive.
Yeah, what he said. No, honestly, Jeremy, if I do remember, I promise I will write you a message and I will tell you. But a lot of times I write poetry, I would never lie to my good friend Jeremy. I only lie to you, Rex. So
Johnny, that should tell you everything.
I'm kidding. I never lie to Rex. Never, never, never. But no, I'm sure I had a reason that I connected it with, and I'm sure I could take time and rethink it, but I much prefer to move on to other songs and other poetry because by this point I've forgotten. So,
all right.
With that being said, we're going to go to the song.
Let's get a little more eager under the wind.
There you go. We're going to move on to the song Trying. And here we go.
Oh, oh, oh. What
are the
effects that
one? Very cool. All right. Up next, we have Relaxing in the Sand by Jenny the Deep. And Jeremy, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
Relaxing in the Sand by our friend Jenny. S'mores are roasting, toes are toasting in the sand on the beach around the bonfire with family so sweet. A midnight, cloudy, starless night, no monsoon or hurricanes in sight, just swelling pearl-white waves in sight. What more can one ask for in life? Rushed and stressed all day, so at night in wet sand I play, from drawing our names with sticks to dancing with you, doing flips. Tonight is our only chance to take it all in and relax. End poem.
Great read, Jeremy. I think that second stanza, that last two lines kind of hits it right. Just swelling pearl white waves in sight, what more can one ask for in life? That note to slipping it easy and smelling the roses, so to speak. She hits on the next one, rushed and stressed all day. So at night in wet sand I play, from drawing our names with sticks to dancing with you doing flips. Again, that note to there might be a time to work, but you know what? When it comes time for the back angle and the play, relaxation, you know what? I'm going to take clear advantage of it. So, nice, Jenny. And Pam?
Oh, I liked this one. It just has a real nice feel to it. The rhyme and the flow, the imagery, the idea of, you know, taking time from the chaos of life to relax and have fun with family. And it's such a nice ride all the way through. But I do especially like rushed and stressed all day, so at night in wet sand I play, from drawing out names with sticks to dancing with you doing flips. Yeah, and I have to say the s'mores roasting, toes are toasting, those lines there really make me just want to hang around a campfire and have s'mores with you and Jeremy. I think that would be fun. Yep, we should do that. So excellent.
Marshmallow and chocolate that barely sticks to the cracker.
There you go.
All right, Jeremy, you got the reading. How about you?
Yeah, there's nothing cooler. There's nothing cooler than hanging out and having a bonfire on the beach. It's one of the coolest bonding experiences that I've ever enjoyed. What I really like about this is how generational it is. There's a childish spirit to it all that really makes it endearing beyond just the sweet romantic feeling of being on the beach and being with friends. And the cues are being on the bonfire with family, so sweet. The fact that you have s'mores, I mean, I know my kids, that's all they talk about every night. We have to argue whether or not we're going to have s'mores in the summer because they love it so much. The doing the flips, the writing the names in the sand, there's a childish spirit to it that makes it that much more endearing than just sitting there with a lover, sitting there watching the sunset in your golden years. It really just is, like I said, it's generational. I think that was the most endearing quality that I had with this is that Jenny kind of makes this all-inclusive. Definitely makes it feel comfortable, makes it feel like home, and it makes it feel like a place that I want to be. So kudos, Jenny. Really enjoyed the poem.
And there's a great note, too. No matter how hot that fire gets, it'll never be hot enough to melt the sand into glass. Thereby, nothing burns except that which you want.
That is a good point.
Well, that's why nobody, you can leave a bonfire on the beach and nobody gives a shit because it ain't going nowhere. And somewhere down the line, that tide's coming in and it's going out.
True. That's true. I never thought of it. Yeah, it's not like doing a bonfire in the middle of the woods. God, I still remember this one bonfire where the guys kept showing off and piling more and more wood on. And the next thing you knew, there was a big, tall pine tree on fire. And us women were screaming at them, "We told you so." Well, we did the told you so after everything was put out.
You know
but.
Why? Pine trees are full of resin and tar. Once you light a pine tree, it goes. And once you light a pine tree that, say, even fallen over, it'll burn for days until it is ash.
Mm-hmm. I just remember, I don't know, I just remember a tree being on fire, so.
All right, what's up next?
All right, well, up next we have the song Try and Love Again. Here we go.
You're on your own, where you never can find
of country western early days.
Very cool. All right. Well, up next we have Job's Turkey by Liquid Mind Forever. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read.
All right. Job's Turkey by Liquid Mind Forever. Poor is Job's Turkey, sucking on, sucking on. Gotta keep on trucking up. Gotta make believe organics. Gotta make believe Hispanic. Beef jerky, ever poor, ever poor. Poor as Job's Turkey. Who's gonna pass me the ketchup? Don't think I'll ever catch up. Been hiking, been biking, not liking the empty cup of consumption's eruption. Disruptions of volcanic corruption. Ain't having no fun, got a gun, gotta run. Homespun cotton, too long forgotten. Poor as Job's turkey, sucking on, sucking on. Gotta keep on trucking on, gotta make believe organics. Gotta make believe Hispanic. Beef jerky, ever poor, ever pure. What's the lure? Poor as Job's turkey. Trust is a common clause in God we. Trust gives course the flaws, straws and laws, gauze and saws. Fidelity, a chastity of belted metaphors. Hee-haws, guffaws, adultery, a travesty of welted maws. See he haws, outlaws. Poor as Job's turkey, sucking on, sucking on. Gotta keep on trucking on, gotta make believe organics. Gotta make believe Hispanic. Beef jerky, ever poor, ever pure. Pure as Job's turkey. I'm trucking on, sucking on, a four-letter fiery tongue. Hope, hope, hope the dope. I'm shooting up an empty cup of contradicted distractions. Poor as Job's turkey, sucking on, sucking on. Gotta keep on trucking on, gotta make believe organics. Gotta make believe Hispanic. Beef jerky, ever poor, ever pure. Poor as Job's turkey. Poor, poor, poor me. Poor as Job's turkey, still perky. Or snooky, like make-believe. Beef jerky, beef jerky. Poor, poor, poor as Job's turkey. And poor. All right, Pam, since you gave that one to me, you get first.
Well, who else was I going to give it to other than my favorite guy? Come on now. First of all, you did a great read there, Rex. You know, as always, her inner and end rhyme, her wordplay is awesome. I love the use of repetition, how this has such a great lyrical quality. This is definitely brilliant, in my opinion. And I like how Job's Turkey to me was just, you know, such a great way describe, being that poor. Like, if you can imagine how poor Job was after God took everything away, imagine how even poorer his damn turkey was. Wordplay and
bones and no meat.
What's that?
Bones and no meat.
Yep, exactly. Who's going to pass me the ketchup? Don't think I'll ever catch up. Been hiking, been biking, not liking the empty cup of consumption's eruptions. It just feels like trying to get through the hard times of life and seeing the games that people play. Powerful lines, fidelity, a chastity of belted, menopause, hee-haws, guffaws, adultery, a chastity of welted maws, hee-haws, outlaws. You know, everybody's got a part to play. Everybody's got a game to play. And it's all about finding those ways to distract ourselves. So brilliant, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, embarrassingly, I'm not versed enough in the religious reference to Job and what the story of the book of Job was all about. I'm picking up on what Pam just laid down and how that could reference what I'm going to say on this. I like the pounding of this. the little engine that could. And that's kind of the feeling that I got in the song that this references. It's kind of a melancholy song, but there's that uplifting, I'm going to keep trying. Even though love has beaten me down, I'm going to come back and try again. And here, that's the feeling I got on this too, with Job's Turkey. Job, you could be downtrodden, but there's that pounding, there's a smile to it. I mean, I think even in hard times, I think what Liquid Mind did in this is by having all the wordplay, having all the repetition, having all of the fun rhyme, there's that optimistic spirit to it all. So even if things look ugly, you're going to keep trying. You're going to give it that you're going to give it all that you have to make a bad situation good. And that's what I kind of got out of this one. It's definitely a fun read, and I like the whimsical feel to maybe a time that might be a little tougher to swallow for anyone else in the same situation. So, yeah, definitely uplifting, right.
Nice. I like that, Jeremy. And you're right. There is a note to the angle of deference where one gets looked down on the other. The rep, I don't know enough about Job either, but the thought of Job's turkey and the fact that Job had everything taken from him, that the office she hits on that second stanza, who's going to pass me the ketchup? Don't think I'll ever catch up. Been hiking, been biking, not liking the empty cup of consumption's eruption. And that goes directly to the angle of those who do something, anything, to dress up that which they have on the table. It might be tough, it might be rough, but a little ketchup, that medicine go down a little. So you do at least have the note of meat upon your table. The idea of taking the lesser value in meat because you can't afford the larger roast that some special people can. Like, hey, I'll have me a filet. Yeah. And a lobster to go with it. Well, you know what? Most people can't afford that. They'll end up with a blade steak or something a little less than that, which is a rougher cut, it's a tougher eat. So you got to cook it well done, and the only way to get past that well done note is with a little ketchup. And that's the general idea of how you got along because you had to make do with what you had moving on, but you still got to eat a bit, even though you had to chew a hell of a lot more than most people would. I do like some shit from that. Sucking on, got to keep on trucking on, got to make believe organics, get make believe Hispanic. Beef jerky, ever poor, ever pure. What's the lure? Poor is Job's turkey. The lure, the idea that they're offering up that note of, hey, you don't need to eat meat. You need to eat this. Except they don't tell you the chemicality that is in that fake meat, which is more detrimental than actually eating a rough cut of real beef. So I'd rather have Job's turkey, lean, mean, and scraggly. At least there's something on the bone.
Absolutely. Great comments.
All right. What's up?
All right, well, up next we have the song, Is It True?
Thank you.
All right. Up next, we have Moonlit Nights by Betty Page. And we have a recording for that. So let me find it. And here we go.
Moonlit Nights. Oh, Moonlit Nights. Divine, sweet, moonlit, wild nights. I'm gonna find you, wicked daddy, turn you on with bites. Moonlit nights, enchanting sweet love so high. As the vicious waves crash down and roll, I have my demons and I have deep pleasures, yet you have a few of your own. Ooh, someone to make love to, intense thrills my purity light. Oh, 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 ooh, comes a fierce behind you. Yes, I'm gonna love you on moonlit nights, in all my dreams, in all my dark, wild, vicious dreams. Oh, I'm gonna find you. Ooh, see you really scream. I keep searching for my demon, yes, that devil so stealth. I keep searching for my lover tonight. I keep wanting my sweet angel who's a little of both. Yes, I can feel him though he's nowhere in sight. Ooh, darkness can confine you, lost between what's wrong and what's right. Oh, 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 ooh, comes up right behind you. Yes, I'm gonna love you on moonlit nights. On moonlit nights. Lies between what's dark and what's light. Comes up right behind you. Yes, I'm gonna love you. Kiss you, sweetie, on moonlit nights. On moonlit nights. Ooh. Ooh. On moonlit nights. Yes, I feel you, oh, I feel. On moonlit nights, comes up right behind you. Yes, I'm gonna love you, oh. On moonlit nights, love just gets so deep. So dark, so wild, so insane. On moonlit nights, these sweet, wild, crazy, insane, insane nights. on moonlit nights. Yes, I'm gonna love you, comes up right behind you on moonlit nights. Ooh, on moonlit nights. Yes, I wanna say ooh, on moonlit nights. Oh, on moonlit nights. Ooh, comes up right behind you. Yes, I'm gonna love you on moonlit nights. On moonlit nights. On moonlit insane wild nights. On moonlit nights.
Great read, Betty. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And I'm sorry, I think I screwed this up. This should have gone with One of These Nights, not the song we opened with. I don't know if I accept the blame for that one. I'm sorry, Betty. But I get where you came from with this one. This definitely walks within that song itself. Jeremy, how about you? What do you think?
Absolutely, One of These Nights. That's right in. And thank you, Betty, for the SoundCloud, because I would have butchered all of the sensuality of this if I even began to dare to do all the oohs and ahs, all the oohs and ahs that are littered throughout. Wonderful, right? And, yeah, I definitely see the connection to the Eagle song. I think it falls in step perfectly. I like the haunting feel of it, beyond all the obvious passion. I like the fact that it waves over you. I like that it comes almost as an unexpected pleasantry. I don't know, I guess I got that because of the haunting feel of it. It seems like it's something that I don't know. Again, it comes as a pleasurable evening, a dark, sensual evening with the love making, but it's not something that was definitely planned. I think it's something that is a pleasant surprise, and I think a lot of ways that. That is one of the better ways to enjoy it. That's one of the ways you can howl at the moon when you're not even ready for it. So, Betty, I'm blushing, and I can't say much more, and I enjoy it.
I like that. Thank you, Jeremy. Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely stunning. What a wonderful parody. Her singing was just beautiful. You could feel the love and emotion in her voice. And I do love how she enjoys having fun with that delightful, sexy wickedness, the biting and the scratching and all that fun stuff. Ooh, someone to make love to, intense thrills, my pure delight. Ooh, come up fierce behind you. Yes, I'm going to love you on moonlit night. You know, Betty really, nobody else can do her. Like, you know, I mean, we can read her poetry, but it's just not the same as, you know, hearing it in her voice, hearing the sensuality and the emotion that comes out in her voice. So absolutely a wonderful song and very well done.
Yeah, that second stanza kind of hits it right on the money as far as the parody take goes. Moonlit nights enchanting, sweet love so high, as the vicious waves crashes down and roll, I have my demons. And that deep pleasures, yet you have a few of your own, mirror image to the song rolling out. So, well done, Benny. Thank you. And I'm sorry for dropping you in on the wrong song. All right, Kim.
All right. Well, speaking of the right song, I'm going to play One of These Nights. So here we go.
One of these crazy old nights, we're gonna find out, pretty mama, what turns on.
some song there. All right. And grabbing the next poem. And All right. Up next, we have Harmony Serenade by Wolfaquar Hamdam Awan. And it goes like this. In verses that whisper of yearning's embrace, love's tender rhythms, a magical place. On an untraveled road, my spirit takes flight, casting off burdens into the night. A lover I seek, pure and true, secrets between us shared by us two. In life's grand symphony, the rarest of notes, a melody woven where true love emotes. Chasing echoes of melodies untold, a heart's epic journey, a story unfolds. Amidst life's complex maze, we embark on a quest. Love's symphony plays an eternal zest. So through trials and passions, our steps intertwine. In your tender embrace, love's star will shine. For your warm arms shine, sweet chimes do rhyme. Two souls find harmony throughout endless time. Fate's strings that entwine in the song of love, forever our sign. With every note, our stories reveal. In the serenade, hearts forever sealed. A lover I found, pure and true, a sanctuary shared under skies of blue. In life's grand symphony, you're my sweetest of notes, a melody woven where love freely floats. Let our voices entwine like music so bright, in this tale of love through day and night. With each lyric sung, our spirits ascend, a melody of love, a journey without end. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jeremy, what do you think?
Bravo, because it's not easy. And any poet out there on this site that thinks that they can do something like this, go ahead and try. Go ahead and try to pace a poem like this with a syllable count and with rhyme and make it sound so effortless. This is a beautiful write, and it's an art in this art into itself in this style of poetry that many have kind of poo-pooed. But when someone does it right, like what's done here, it's beautiful. And I think Pam, in her reading and her recitation of this, paced it properly, and made it punch the way it was written. It's a craft. It's a craft unto itself. And all I can say is what Zulfiqar did was expertly plotted out. It takes a lot of effort, and all I can say is kudos, because it came across as a beautiful written poem.
All right, thank you, Jeremy. And Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, this is beautiful. You know, I've been very appreciative and have enjoyed that Zulfiqar lately has been writing for quite a bit of our shows and our contests. I really like his rhyming poetry, his imagery, his sense of romanticism in so many of his writes. This one was particularly heartfelt as it spoke on the journey of love taken together. You know, it feels like, you know, a journey that's not just physical, but emotional and spiritual. You know, I really thought this was beautiful all the way through, but I especially like a lover I seek, pure and true, secrets between us shared by us two, in life's grand symphony, the rarest of notes, a melody woven where true love emotes. Absolutely beautiful and very well done.
I think you two hit it on the nose, but I can offer up only one thing. It hits me with sort of what Paul McCartney got dissed for back in the late 70s. You think that people would have had enough silly love songs. I look around me, I see it isn't so. Some people want to fill the world with the silly love songs. And what's wrong with that? I'd like to know, because here I go. I love. And that roll into the music itself. So I think this hits on that very same note, as well as what you two offered. It people move with the silly long songs, but you know what? The hell with them. Let them bleed alone, as Zulfikar offers up something that might be offered up as sort of a silly, but you know what? That's because people don't look the same way at things anymore than what used to be. Sometimes simple is where it's at and where it should always be.
Are you firing off a little bit of Wings here on Eagles Night?
Yes, I did.
I see what you're doing, Rex. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
I can't help it. I see a lot of things, and God, I keep referencing, God knows, hell, I'm referencing songs on other nights during the week, too. So I'm kind of embedded now. All right, Pam, what you got next?
All right. Up next, we have Take the Devil. Here we go.
Open up your eyes. Take the devil from your mind. He's been holding on to you, and you're so hard. Outside is cold, restless feeling in my soul, tempting me to get away, but there's no place a man can go.
Help me not to let my feelings show. No.
All right. Our last poem for the night is The Devil in Me by Ima Rima. And Jeremy, go ahead, please, and give that a read.
The Devil in Me by Ima Rima. The devil got into my mind and made me think such evil thought. The devil clearly designed to make me do what I should not. Oh, heaven help me. Others pried into the goings-on in me. And the devil through me replied, these others were just foolishly being a downer on my high. The devil in me had a firm hold. No matter how heaven might try, the devil was done. My soul was sold. I let the devil in to dwell, and I turned myself into hell. End poem.
Great read, Jeremy. Thank you very much. And Pam, roll them up.
First of all, I think that was one of the all-time best Jeremy reads I've ever heard. Not that you don't read good all the time, but the way you said that and the way you put the emphasis in hell at the end, hell.
Everything I do, I do for you, Pam. Everything I do, I do for you.
I'm pretty sure that's a song. Those are song lyrics. But, yes. But this is awesome. I like it. It's great rhyme and flow and a nicely written sonnet. I like how it speaks on temptations and addiction and making that deal with the devil at the crossroads. And all the way through, it's a great write. But I especially like how the ending couplet speaks on the hell that lies within us. And I also really like the lines, oh, heaven help me, others pride into the going ons in me, and the devil through me replied, these others were just foolishly being a downer on my high. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Hey, Pam. And Jeremy, you got to read it. How about you?
And it's not, I love what you just commented on, Pam, and I agree. I'm a big fan of the sonnets, and I love the fact that Ima went that way on this. There's an invite to this. There's not an apologetic feel to the fact that the narrative voice has gone to the dark side, and the fact that the devil has taken over seems almost inviting. There's a little bit of remorse that others might have tried to bring him out of this way to go, but it seems like it was a destined soul path. So I like this. I like the fact that there's a devil in me, and I accept it. And you know what? Look out, because I'm bringing hell along with it. So it's kind of an inviting ride, and sometimes it's fun to have a devilish grin with anything that you do. I really like what Ima did on this, and I think it's a wonderful way to finish out the night with you guys. Great poem.
Yeah, because there was a nice little tie-in to the fight here. Cleverly designed for me to do what I should not. Oh, heaven help me, others pride in the goings on in me. And the devil through me replied, these others were just foolishly, and this is the turn, being a downer on my high. The devil in me had firm hold, no matter how heaven might try. The deal was done, my soul. So I like that note to the turn, and then the full embracement as you hit on, Jeremy. So excellent. All right. Great show, Pam. Thank you very much. Jeremy, thank you for joining us for this ride. Although, yeah, we kind of hit on the note of hell going out on this note, but that's all right. We had a good time this evening. And this week. Next week we're doing Robbie Robertson, so come on back, and we do have, I think, two rollovers, Pam, is that right?
Three.
Okay. We'll do the three rollovers first, and then we'll get into Robbie Robertson next week. And we'll have a band of fun again. So good night all, and thank you very much. Come back and do us again next Sunday at 10 p.m.